Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So we sang a song based upon Jesus' words. While the children are departing, let's quickly turn to Luke chapter 19, okay? Luke chapter 19. And I want to focus in just very, very briefly, just hit the high points of a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. Luke chapter 19 and verse 11. Luke 19, 11. And as they heard these things, he, that's Jesus, added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. See, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants. He delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. A pound he gave them. He delivered 10 pounds among 10 servants. In other words, each one got a pound, and that's not 16 ounces. What it means, a pound here, is actually a money measurement in Jesus's day. 1 pound would be the equal of a common laborer's 3 months' wages. So it's a good chunk of change, you might say. I want to pray and then just share some thoughts quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you for this parable that Jesus sets before us. We pray that you might show us what application you have for us as we sit here today. And I do pray that we take it to heart. As we said this morning, to hear God's word and even agree with it and yet not do anything with it is really, it's heart hardening. We don't want that to happen. So Lord, help us to take it deep to heart and then depend upon you to live it out in our lives. We ask this for Jesus' glory. Amen. I call your attention to verse 11 as we begin, just quickly looking at this parable. If you'll note there, here we have the reason why Jesus bothered to even share this illustration, this parable. And the main reason is that he wanted to correct the wrong impression that these disciples had, and that was that the kingdom of God was going to begin right away. See that in verse 11? They thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. By the way, we're still waiting for that kingdom of God to appear. We are currently waiting for the kingdom of God that was promised to Israel and that the glorified church will actually participate in. The truth that the parable illustrates is this. And by the way, if you study parables in the Bible, you'll find that there is one main truth that is seeking to be communicated through this parable or illustration. Here's the main truth that Jesus is trying to illustrate and to communicate through this parable. He is like that nobleman that is going away to a far country, but he's going to return. He's going to go to his father's house, right? But he's going to come again. Well, in the meantime, what are his followers supposed to do? The truth this parable illustrates is that in the meantime, while Jesus is away, his followers are to be servants who are faithfully doing the work of the Lord. So let's just take a few moments, and I want you to evaluate your life based upon this parable. You know, God-given truth is really the basis for all human living. God-given truth is the basis for all human life. The fact is, because we are created by God, here's the truth. You're created by God. I don't think anyone in this room debates that. We're all created by God. But have you also recognized the fact that because God created you, you're responsible to Him? And so this parable will illustrate, first of all, our responsibility. I've already read verses 12 through 14, which I think centers in on our responsibility. Human beings are created by God to be His imagers. We're given life for one purpose, and that is to fulfill God's purpose for our existence. That's what we're here for. And this, of course, will naturally lead to an individual discovering and doing God's will. Have you done that? Do you realize you have a responsibility that you're breathing, your heart's beating, you're here, you're alive, you're made by God, you're responsible to fulfill the purpose for which your life exists, and your life exists to discover and do what God wants you to do, His purposes for your life. You'll never discover that, and thus you'll never do it until you take the steps that He lays out for us in Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, people of God, that you present your body, your whole self, as a living sacrifice. Until you surrender your life, your whole self to God, you'll never discover and do the purpose of God in your life. Have you done that? It's interesting. He says, once you surrender, then you are to saturate your life with the way God thinks, with His thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Saturate your thinking with God's thinking. And you know what will happen? You'll prove out. You will exemplify what is God's perfect will for your life. So that's the progression. You have a responsibility. You're created by God. You're here to fulfill His purpose for your life. And you'll never know God's purpose for your life until, first of all, you surrender to Him and then saturate your thinking with His thinking. And then you'll discover and you will then be able to do or serve what He's made you for. You'll be a servant. Look at the servants in verses 12 and 13 of this parable. He called His 10 servants, verse 13 says, and He delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I want to concentrate on that phrase. Occupy till I come. Don't fossilize, but occupy. Be busy, Jesus says, fulfilling the purpose for your existence, your life. And do it until He comes. Whether He comes for you to take you through death, the valley of the shadow, or He actually comes, as we talked about this morning, in the rapture. But all of Jesus's followers share the same responsibility. I'm a pastor, right? I'm in what you would call full-time vocational ministry, okay? But you know what this means? This means that not just me, but all of us in this room that are God's creatures and that have that enjoy His salvation, we all have the same responsibility. We are all called to be His servants. In some way, in some capacity, we're called to serve God. That's our responsibility. Now, obviously, the majority of people on this planet aren't God's servants because they're not saved, but they're all God's creatures, and so they're all God's subjects. They may not be His servants, but they are His subjects. Look at the natural attitude of God's subjects to Him, their Creator. Verse 14. These are different from the servants. These are His subjects. The citizens hated Him and sent a message after He left, We don't want this guy reigning over us. That pictures the natural human heart attitude toward God. Human beings are in rebellion and revolt against the sovereign God of this universe that created them. That's what's out there on the street. That's what's outside of the believing household of faith. Absolute rebellion against God. The servants versus the subjects. Responsibility, though. They still have a responsibility, these subjects, because he's the sovereign. Then I want you to see in verses 15 to 25, another thing that comes as a result of responsibility. When we're given responsibility, sometimes we get evaluated. It's called accountability. And this is what we have pictured here in verse 15, actually down to verse 25. It came to pass that when he did return, this nobleman, he received, having received the kingdom that he went to claim, he commanded these servants to be called to him, whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Okay, they've been given a responsibility. Now they're held to accountability. And you know, the first came, verse 16. Hey, you gave me a pound. I've gained 10 times that. Oh, well, because you've been faithful in a very little, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. The next guy comes. You gave me a pound. I've gained 5 times that. Oh, well, you've done well. You've been faithful. I'm going to give you authority over 5 cities. And then verse 20, another one came with his 1 pound, and he said, you gave me 1 pound, and I wrapped it up in a napkin, and here it is. I'm giving it back to you. Isn't that good? He said, verse 21, I feared you. This is really insulting to this nobleman who, of course, pictures our Lord. I feared you because you're a harsh man. You're an austere man. You take up what you don't lay down. You reap where you don't sow. In other words, you're a thief. You take what's not yours. You're a raider. That's what he's saying. And verse 22, he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. If you felt that way about me, if you had that attitude about me, then why didn't you at least, verse 23, put my money in the bank that at my coming I'd at least have some interest on that 1 pound? Verse 24, I'm not going to touch right now, but I just want you to understand you have a responsibility before God as a believer. You are his servant. And because you and I are his servants, we are accountable to him. God holds you and me accountable for what we do with our lives and everything that pertains to what he has entrusted to us. Hey, mind me now, this is not about money. He's using money as this illustration. This is not about money, but it's about using your life to serve God and his purposes and not yourself. Because you have that responsibility and God is holding you accountable. And what we have in verses 16 to 19 is really profit. And what we have in verse 20 to 25 is loss. In verses 16 to 19, well done. Oh, good. Yeah, 10 cities for you to have authority of 5 for you to have a, that's profit. That's faithful servant. And God rewards a faithful servant's life. A life that is invested in serving God, spent in serving him, God will liberally reward such a life. But the loss in that who he calls a wicked servant here in verses 20 to 25, God judges this lazy, unfaithful servant who lived a selfish life without investing and spending his life in unselfish service for the Lord. In other words, living his life for himself. Living life the way we want to live it, doing what we want to do, coming up with our own career path, and then just letting everyone else in the work of the Lord do the service, and we just sit back as spectators. This is the servant. He's unfaithful, and he's a loser as a result of that. He wasted his life by not serving God. And as a result, when he stands before the Lord, he'll have nothing to show for it. You know, that is such a picture and really a warning to all of God's people that there is a day of accountability coming upon every single believer. We're going to stand before what is called the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a place of profit and loss. That's a place where you either gain reward or you will lose reward. It's possible that you can appear before the judgment seat of Christ and, yes, be saved, but to be absolutely empty-handed as far as serving the Lord. Some of us are getting up in age. We don't have a whole lot of time left, just statistically speaking. And you might say, well, I'm just a youngin'. I'm just a youngster. I got plenty of time to serve the Lord. I'm not worried about that now. You don't know. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a short time. Look, if you plan on doing service for the Lord, you better do it now. You better stop sitting down and letting everyone else around you serve the Lord while you are a spectator. This is not a spectator sport. There is responsibility to every one of us because we're all servants, and there is an accountability that is going to come upon all of us as servants. And then even subjects are going to be held accountable. Look at verse 27. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Of course, we don't see that happen, but that's the judgment that is passed upon his subjects. They have a loss in their column, too. It's an eternal loss. Okay? What's the point? The point is we're all servants. We all have that responsibility as servants of God. No matter how young you are, no matter how old we are, we all have that similar responsibility we share as servants of God. And all servants of God will face a day of accountability. So here's the point. Look at verse 26. For I say unto you, let me go back to verse 24. The nobleman said unto them that stood by, take from him that lazy, unfaithful servant that had 1 pound and he didn't do anything with his life purpose. Take it from him. Give it to the guy that made 10 pounds, that made 10 times, did 10 times as much as he was given. And they balked at that. Verse 25, they said, hey, whoa, that's not fair. He already has 10 pounds. Here's the point. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Here's the third and final point. Responsibility, accountability, and what God is looking for is dependability. Followers who serve God must be faithful. And the most faithful servants receive the greatest reward. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we might receive the things done in the body. And then in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we actually see that scene laid out before us, here's what we read in that chapter. Listen, every man's work shall be revealed, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work, what kind it is. If a man's work remains, which he hath built thereupon, he'll receive a reward. But if passed through the fire, if that man's work is burnt up, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So that's the thing. The most faithful receive the greatest reward. But the lesson here for all of us is simply this. The Christian life is to be lived as Jesus says in that 13th verse to those servants. Occupy till I come. That's the Christian life of a servant. Occupy till I come. A responsibility that will be followed by accountability that really requires dependability. Occupied. Make it your daily business in life to serve God by investing yourself and everything you have, and spend yourself, your life, serving God all the time, mainly through your local church. That's what it's about. So are you taking your responsibility seriously? Do you acknowledge your accountability before God as a servant? And can God and can your church count on your dependability? Those are, I think, all things that flow from this parable of the 10 pounds.